The beginning of Psalms. We'll be preaching today out of Psalm 1. Psalm 1. The way of the righteous and the wicked. God presents us with two stark ways of walking. And walking is the biblical word for living. How we walk through this life is our walk. The things we say, the things we behave, the way we behave, what we do, what we don't do. And this morning, we'll be looking at our prayer book. The Psalms are the prayer book of believers. And we'll be looking at these two ways of living. And in Christ and without Christ is what they are today. So let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who makes himself known to us. Lord, we pray today that those of us who know you and have faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, will take this word on board. Lord, I pray too that if there are any who do not know your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, they will take this word into their hearts, Lord, and be convicted and change their way and their walk. So this morning, we see six things total, for the righteous to remember, and three things for the wicked to be confronted with. We see that the righteous are people who meditate on God's word. They're planted and rooted in that word. They bear fruit, and they enjoy real prosperity in their lives. Even though if outwardly things don't seem great, inwardly in their spirit, they are enjoying real prosperity. And three things for the wicked. Three things really that the wicked need to do. They need to find a new way to walk. They need to find a new place to sit. And they need to find a way to stand in before the Lord. And first we'll look at the righteous man. And in this psalm, it begins with the negative, things that the righteous do not do any longer. They do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Those in Christ, those who are believers, they don't want to listen to even the suggestion of evil. We should run from it, frankly. We avoid making what the word calls provision for the flesh. We don't give ourselves the opportunity even to meet with sin or to be set up to have to confront sin. Every day, this is the way that the righteous person walks. It is a new habit of life that the Spirit gives us. We spoke of the Spirit this morning and the things the Spirit does for us, in us. A new walk, a new habit of life. The righteous do not stand in the way of sinners. Bad company, we don't hang around them. Spread the gospel, share it, yes. Hanging around habitually, no. We don't make a habit of the ways, and the Bible tells us we don't even mention the things that the wicked do. Don't even take it into your mouth. Again, this is a habit, a walk of life. The righteous do not sit in the seat of scoffers. This world now seems to be even more full of scoffing. The scoffing is very loud, and it's everywhere, it seems like. Criticism, running people down, blaspheming the Lord, his taking his name in vain. Wicked people seem to enjoy it. It bubbles, it's the fountain that bubbles up from their hearts, the treasure they take from their hearts. We don't sit in that seat. To sit in a seat is to say, I accept this. I'm here. These are the seats we're sitting in this morning. And I hope that's a blessing to each one here, to be in these seats, hearing God's word. Scoffers are sitting someplace else. In all the habits of life, the righteous are not abiding in sin. We're walking, we're standing, we're sitting, we're abiding or living with Jesus. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ, it's a different way to walk. And that our psalm tells us we're characterized by meditating on his word, being rooted in his word. When the Spirit opens our hearts, and sometimes it's called the eyes of our heart, we can see and feel and know the truth of Scripture. And so we can meditate on that Scripture. And that's what drives these habits. It's what lays out the plan for this walk of the righteous. And to meditate on it is like chewing food. Chewing cud is a lot of times, you know, anybody who's familiar with cows or things like that. It's going over the word again and again and again, knowing that it is an encounter with the living God. And he will be putting into our minds and our hearts, not the things of scoffing or sinning or anger, whatever it is, but new things. Beautiful things. To meditate on his word is to mutter it to ourselves, to do as he says he will do, write it on our hearts, that we can pull it out anytime we need to when we're confronted by the things in life. It's counsel, right? We talked about the wonderful counselor in Isaiah, who's come to us at Christmas. He will counsel us with his Spirit. We talked about that, the indwelling Spirit this morning in Romans 8. And so because of these things, we can bear fruit in season. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we will all at some point in our lives bear beautiful fruit. We don't know when, we don't necessarily know how. But we will bear that fruit, and it will be beautiful. But we're there like that tree by the side of the river, and those roots are driving deeper and deeper into Jesus every day. The fruit we bear, the fruits of the Spirit. It's love. It's peace. Love God and our neighbors more. Patience and suffering. It's what enables us to return good when we receive evil, as the Lord commands us to do. And again, it's a whole new pattern of godly life. This fruit comes in season, and sometimes, you know, we talked with a sister of ours in Christ, came to visit us. She's very frustrated with where she is in her life. She really longs to serve the Lord with zeal. She will bear her fruit in season. She will. She's discouraged now, but it will come. In the prosperity that the psalm talks about, it's not a worldly prosperity necessarily. The Lord, in his providence, may grant us with wonderful worldly prosperity. He will always take care of us. But he will give us a prosperity that isn't crushed or lost when worldly circumstances change. It's a prosperity that will carry us through. It's based on his promises in his word that we're meditating on. Deeper roots of faith will give us good spiritual health. Our leaves, as the image gives us, will not wither. If the sun beats down on us, if it doesn't rain for a long time, we'll be okay, because we've got those deep roots of faith that provide stability. And what a great confidence then the righteous have. But that confidence isn't based on us. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ, because that's how we got here. Amen. That's how we got here. It's not something we did in ourselves or had in ourselves or worth in ourselves. But let's take a look at the psalm's word for the wicked, those who do not have faith in Jesus Christ. And it's emphatic. It is not so. So all these benefits, all these wonderful, beautiful things that the righteous enjoy, it is not so for the wicked. They're like chaff that is blown away. And again, that's another farm image. But chaff is the thing you blow away to get to the grain. Farmer wants the grain, you have to beat the grain out, and you have to blow the chaff away. Because chaff's going to hurt people's teeth, and it's going to hurt people's stomachs. It's what you don't want. It's the waste product. The wicked are not blessed. And blessed, one meaning of the term blessed is accepted. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, Lord Jesus uses the term blessed over and over and over again, and he's talking about an acceptance and a blessing, as we would say it in English, but it's also to be part of God's family. They don't have faith. They don't have the roots of faith. They scoff, as we heard, against God and his word. And they, most frighteningly of all, they will not stand in God's judgment. And that's a terrifying thing. Because judgment will come. The Lord Jesus will return. And people will answer for the walk that they had in this life. And rather than prosper in this life and really prosper in the next, the wicked will perish when God's judgment comes. And the problem is the wicked are walking not in the counsel of God's word. They make up their own. They're left to make up some cobbled up counsel to get them a plan for their life. And they try one, and it doesn't work, and they throw it away. This new year, they'll all be looking for a new plan to be thinner, whatever it is, to get some roots, to get some peace. And the sad part is they're going to be blown around in their lives like chaff. But right now, they are standing in the ways of sin. They go out of their way to seek it. They sit down with other scoffers. They mock and deny God's word and his very offer of salvation. So this morning, I want to call out to those who are in that position, people you may know, and you will hopefully have an opportunity to remind them of what's at stake. That not only will they miss out on the blessings we talked about, but they will also perish in God's final judgment. So I want to offer them some things to consider. They need to find a new way to walk. They need to get a new plan, new counsel to direct that walk. And they need to consider the plans, that the counsel that they're in. Is it happy? Is it solid? Is it sound like that tree with those deep roots? Or does it just blow away when things get bad? Plans out the window, I'm knocked over, blown away. Not standing solidly. And maybe they need to consider to stop scoffing and listen to the message of the Savior. Because no plan or counsel that they make up will save them. They can't even change the things about themselves they don't like. Believers change in ways they never thought they would. So find a new place to sit. Get some new friends, some new scoffers. It's draining to be around people that scoff. I'm not talking about cough. I'm talking about scoff. Because everything is wrong. Everything you say, everything you do, they know they have a problem. We need to let them know specifically what it is. And then finally, they need to find a way to stand with Jesus and call on him. His offer in the gospel is so free. It sounds crazy to the world that the Lord would give everything to win them, and they have no way to pay. They don't need a plan for that. They need to accept it. Accept the gift. Because he's the only reason that in the end, in the Lord's final judgment, they will be able to stand. Nothing they've done, no good in themselves, through faith in Jesus Christ. Because of what he did on the cross, his perfect life, his perfect sacrifice, his resurrection from the dead. Yeah. So I would ask you, when you get a chance, when their plans fail, when they're blown around and knocked around in their life, when they're scoffing, tell them to pray. Tell them to pray. Tell them that that gift is this close. We just talked about that. We sang about it at Christmas. The kingdom is here. The Lord has drawn near, and he's there for them if they ask for that faith. So I ask today that God continues to bless you as believers, to keep you in his word, to keep you bearing fruit, to keep you singing his songs in your heart. Anything else people live by is just a flimsy human creation. It seems very solid. Sometimes it seems pretty scary. But it will not stand. In the end, it will be blown away as chaff is blown away. And we don't want that. The Lord does not desire that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. So pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gift of the gospel. We thank you for what you did in God's plan to bless the righteous, to magnify your Father's name, to magnify his and your glory, just as you prayed in John, Lord, the ones that are yours, you prayed that the Lord give them to you, the Father would give them to you, that we would be one with you as you are one with him. And Lord, we pray for those who do not have faith in you. Lord, we have to tell them the peril that they're in. We have to tell them why their plans, their counsel is not working. We have to tell them the criminal offense of them scoffing at you as you stand ready to save them. And I pray, Lord, today that you fill us to overflowing with your grace, and then it will spill out to bless the wicked, to change their path, and to get them to faith in you in that blessed state. And we pray all these things in your name, because it's power. Amen.